Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today's program with an article taken from the Wall Street Journal, the 13th of January of this year. The article was written for the Wall Street Journal by Callum Borchers, and the title is Outlook Brightens for Job Seekers. Business leaders anticipate hiring more after last year's uncertainties. I'm always talking to hiring managers to understand about what drives them to fill jobs or to hold off. One recent conversation of mine was too good not to share with you. Charlie Kane, who runs one of the country's largest staffing firms, told me that his company filled twice as many human resources openings for clients in November of 2024 than it did in November of 2023. So why should you care if you don't work in HR? So I look at our HR replacement business as a bellwether of the economy, because if companies are hiring on that department, they are generally getting ready to hire in other areas as well, says Kane, who is executive vice president of Beacon Hill Solutions Group. If you're an exasperated job seeker reading this skeptically, I can't blame you though. More than 1.5 million of you were out of work and had been hunting for at least 6 months as of November, 50% more than in a couple of years ago. And the share of workers feeling unhappy or stuck in their jobs that they don't like is at a 10-year high, according to a recent Gallup survey. And so the struggle to land a new white-collar role is real, but there is reason to think that more doors of opportunity could be opening in the near future. More than three-quarters of the CEOs who run large companies expect the global economy to improve in the first half of this year, partly because they anticipate lower taxes and fewer regulations under the incoming Republican administration, according to a survey by advisory firm Tenneco. That's way up from 45% of the CEOs who made the same prediction about the start of 2024. Optimistic executives today are more likely to hire. Nearly two-thirds of U.S. employers plan to add permanent roles in the next 6 months, according to a new survey by staffing and consulting firm Robert Half. Barely half of the companies said the same midway through 2024. We heard from many employers last year who said that they were holding off hiring until the election, said Brandy Britton, an executive director in Robert Half's finance and accounting practice. They didn't necessarily have an opinion which way the vote should go, or if they did or didn't say, but it was more about wanting clarity before making some additions. On Friday, the monthly jobs report came in well above expectations, with employers adding 256,000 jobs in December. A lot of companies that waited to post job openings now are ready to move forward, Britton says. In a LinkedIn survey of nearly 2,000 C-suite executives last month, 77% said that they were planning for steady or high growth hiring in 2025, while 4% said they plan to slow hiring or cut jobs. Recruiters and executives also said some companies slowed or paused hiring last year in order to assess the capabilities and limitations of artificial intelligence, and they concluded that they will need more human workers in the coming year, not fewer. Tampa, Florida-based accounting firm Shellman, which has 545 employees, asked their technology vendors to identify ways in which artificial intelligence could speed up tasks for them and possibly reduce the number of people required to complete them, says Chief Executive Avani Desai. Instead of cutting jobs, she found that she needed to create 7 roles more for people who specialize in prompting artificial intelligence software in order to get the most out of it. For now, Desai says her company's AI efforts cost more money than they save. She's betting, though, that will change or she wouldn't make the investment. But in the meantime, she plans to add 35 positions in accounting, engineering, administration, and leadership coaching in the first half of this year. Other artificial intelligence experiments are enough to induce night sweats, but they might not be quite as frightening as they appear. Buy now, pay later company Klarna froze hiring in 2024 on the premise that bots could replace people. The trial there was so successful, if that's the right word for it, coming from a human person, that CEO Sebastian Siemiatkowski used an AI clone of himself to report quarterly results last month. Yet, even Klarna has now determined that people are not entirely dispensable yet. A spokesperson for them said that the company's workforce of about 3,800 has shrunk 20% through attrition, but there are some edge cases where specific roles need to be backfilled, mainly in engineering. Klarna had 46 openings listed on their careers page this week. Indeed, the CEO there, Chris Hyams, envisions 2025 as the year when artificial intelligence, which many job seekers blame for unfairly screening out their applications, becomes more of an ally in the search process. He says the technology has mostly been a tool for employers up to this point, and his job board company aims to shift more power to people looking for work. Indeed is coming out with Pathfinder, which is an AI tool that will attempt to serve as a personal talent agent for people looking for new roles or those not actively searching yet, but open to opportunities. Answer a slew of questions about your skills and interests as you would at a placement agency, says Pathfinder, and they will automatically put you in the applicant pool for openings where you're a good fit and have a realistic shot at a job. The idea there is to take the scut work out of applying online and to get to the interview stage faster. We want to get a human-to-human connection here, Hyams says. We talked to thousands of job seekers, and the thing that they always said is, I just want a chance to explain to someone why I know I can do this job. Natalie Serpico felt like the world was ending for her when she was laid off from her marketing job a month ago. With 2 months severance and a husband who earns well, she says her sense of dread was less about the layoff itself than about the job-hunting horrors she expected to face out there, including fake listings, interminable recruiting processes, and professional acquaintances who offer to make intros but never quite follow through. To her surprise, though, a former coworker introduced her to a hiring manager at an education technology company who arranged a call to discuss a forthcoming opening that had not yet been posted. A hiring manager at another company reached out about an open role on the recommendation of a different former colleague of hers. Serpico, who is 30 years of age, says she used her network strategically because referrals can be valuable and applied cold to about 100 jobs, including 2 additional interviews that way. Interested companies have told her to expect a decision in about 2 weeks, and one said her application would not be reviewed until employees returned from a holiday break, which spared her from fretting over the lack of response from them. Serpico has not received any offers yet, but she is hopeful that Courtesy is returning to hiring. All people want is to not be waiting and wondering, am I moving forward or did I not get it, she says. It's as simple as sending an email. CEOs such as Clint Sharp of cloud computing company Gribble says that they're listening. He reads complaints that job candidates post in online forums such as Glassdoor, and he tells his recruiters not to leave applicants hanging out there. Employees rate Gribble and Sharp highly on Glassdoor, but the interview process does get mixed reviews, with some candidates saying they were ghosted. Gribble plans to hire 350 people this year to add to its staff of 750. Job candidates should expect a 5-7-step process that includes a skills test and multiple interviews, Sharp says. I hope the process is more humane because people seeking a job deserve to be treated with respect, but it's still very rigorous, he says. If that's not for you, then there are other employers who might have a less exacting process. Hey, no one promised the door of opportunity would open easily. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Wall Street Journal of February 18th. This article also was written by Callum Borchers, and the title is Flunking a Personality Test Can Cost You Your Dream Job. Employers are studying psychologist questionnaires, astrology, and handwriting analysis. You try not to take rejection personally when looking for a job, but that is tough to do as more companies add personality tests to their hiring screens. Just ask Nick Malik, who's been given online personality assessments by 3 prospective employers in recent months while applying unsuccessfully so far for senior level engineering roles. I've gotten some really weird questions, he says. I understand the desire to know a little bit about your applicants, but I don't think that running your applicants by a robot is very effective. Malik isn't sure quite whether his best results, his age, his 59, or something else is holding him back. But his experience so far reflects companies' fixation on fit, the biggest buzzword out there in hiring. To gauge this nebulous quality, employers now are reaching for personality assessments ranging from questionnaires developed by psychologists to ancient methods of divining character traits, such as astrology and handwriting analysis. Many bosses place a higher premium on teams that will tell as much technology automates more tasks and applicant team with qualified candidates. Skill matters, of course, but companies now can be pickier than they were desperate for talent a few years ago. Managers consistently tell me that when hires don't work out, it's usually because they turn out to be incompatible, not incapable. Impressions of someone can be off base or biased, even more so when a lot of interviews are held on Zoom. So businesses are hungry now for something better than gut instincts. Data on the share of employers administering personality tests is hard to come by, but Myers-Briggs, perhaps the best known maker of those assessments, says usage is on the rise. It is a trend that triggers mixed feelings in John Haxton, for example, the company's director of thought leadership. You have to be a little bit careful that you're not just cloning the people already on your team, he says. Personality assessments can be insightful when they are carefully designed to detect the attributes that predict high performance in specific roles, says Wharton organizational psychologist Adam Grant, who advises the candidate screening company Bright Hire. But some tests amount to snake oil, he says, because they can be gamed on or reduced complex people to oversimplified labels such as introvert or extrovert. Every manager, myself included, has kicked himself thinking, I really shouldn't have hired that person. What did I miss? Grant says, it seems like anything you could do to get more information and avoid falling into that trap would be useful, but not all personality tests are reliable and valid for everything. Managers also are probing the personalities of those already in their charge in hopes of improving team dynamics. Some strategies are a little bit eccentric. A Google contractor recently came to Cinzia Biondi with a problem. Her team of five people had all the right technical skills, but still wasn't clicking. Instead of administering a lengthy questionnaire, Biondi used a much older kind of personality test. I started with numerology, using their team members' names and birth dates to try to ascertain their true natures and fortunes, Biondi says. I told her a certain person is not really focused on work right now because he is in a specific life cycle, and you will do better placing him on another kind of task. Biondi, who is a former biomedical engineer, bills herself as a business astrologer. Advising managers on personnel moves and the timing of product launches was a side hustle for her until last year. The resurgence of astrology in popular culture enabled her to become a full-time consultant. The use of astrology in hiring and team building is far from mainstream, but more common than many job seekers even realize, she says. Bosses who consult with her come up with alternative explanations for their decisions instead of telling people outright that they missed out on promotions because they're Libras or Scorpios. Sheila Lowe says that there can be a similar taboo out there attached to her work as a graphologist. The president of the American Handwriting Analysis Foundation often serves as an expert witness in court cases, and she consults with companies looking for clues about prospective hires' personalities in their handwriting. For example, a signature that looks markedly different from someone's regular penmanship suggests a person's private life and outward persona do not match, she says. Oversized capital letters indicate conceit, but telling people their handwriting doomed their candidacies doesn't go over very well, and so her clients tend to give applicants different reasons. One time, an employer that sends me writing samples for sales positions was very transparent and told somebody, the handwriting analyst says that you tend to blow up, Lowe says. The candidate did blow up at that. You can't change your birthday, and you probably don't even know what a graphologist is looking for. I certainly didn't when I was asked to submit a cursive writing sample to a consulting firm where I once received a job offer. But surely you can figure out the correct answers on a personality questionnaire, right? Well, don't be so certain, says Ryan Stewart, who is product manager at Affintis, a maker of personality assessments. Most people out there think I've got to be an extrovert, but it's more nuanced than that, he says. Sales jobs require a lot of research and a lot of independent work. Stewart asked me not to reveal the numerical sweet spot on his company's 10-point introvert-extrovert continuum. Suffice it to say, though, applicants who think they know what a prospective employer is looking for might be wrong, so gaming the system isn't always easy. Karen Gumakos, who is general sales manager at Reagan Outdoor Advertising in Austin, Texas, uses Affintis's personality test to scout for a range of character traits, including unexpected ones. Instead of looking for people with customer is always right attitudes, she likes her sales representatives to register a somewhat oppositional. The reason for this, clients don't always know the best marketing strategy, and Goumakos wants her employees who can shoot down bad ideas politely. She says the personality test is about one-third of the equation in hiring decisions and can be the reason why a person with a great resume does not get the job. Ordinarily, you look for someone who has a certain amount of experience, she says. But now we can find someone who might have less experience, who is wired in a way that they're more likely to be successful on the job. The following article appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 20th of February. This article is entitled, Ways to Use Technology to Better Pace Your Work. This article was written for the journal by Alexandra Samuel. Too often, we work too fast or too slow or too sporadically, hurting our productivity and our mental health as well. Software can help that. We work too fast and we burn out, or we procrastinate and get too little done too late, or we jump from task to task instead of focusing on one job and doing it well. Whatever the particular issue for you is, tech can help us to find a pace that works best for us. And that's why it's helpful to choose technologies and strategies for using them and let us organize our time more efficiently for us and prod us when we start to lose our rhythm. So here are some of the most effective tips I've found depending on how you're trying to do to adjust your pace. When you need to get some more done. If your biggest obstacle is inefficiency, you don't work quickly enough, or you make poor use of your time, tech can help you set up a plan for your day and plow through small tasks much more effectively. For example, use reminders tied to specific times of day. If I start my day by looking at a long list of tasks, I want to crawl right back into bed. So I've mostly replaced task lists with notices that will pop up on all my devices at various points, reminding me to tackle something on my list. That could be the big things, such as review data tables for annual report, or small things such as put an AirTag on my carry-on bag. I use Apple's reminders for this, and you can get similar features with Microsoft To-Do and Google Keep, among others. Since my reminders are now delivered throughout my day, I rarely fall into an extended period of spacing out or procrastinating. If a reminder arrives at a moment when I'm not actually in the middle of something useful, I will tackle up whatever pops up on me. And if one arrives at a moment when I'm in the middle of a call or deep in thought, I just use the snooze button to defer it. You can use location-based reminders too. Alongside timed reminders, I rely on location-based prompts to give me tasks when I'm in a specific place. Just dictate a command into your phone along with a business name or address. For example, remind me to update my payroll information when I arrive at Citibank Main Street branch, for example, or remind me to draft a memo about our latest marketing campaign when I arrive at Acme Diagnostic Labs, a great way to make productive use of the time you expect to spend in their waiting room. Gamify your workday. If you're motivated by points or rewards, turn productivity into a game with specialized task management apps. Todoist, for example, has karma points that accumulate as you complete jobs, letting you progress through levels such as novice and grandmaster as you get more work done. Think of it as the same kind of motivator as a step counter. If you really want to go all in on the video game experience, Habitica is a web and mobile app that turns your task list into a role-playing game. As you check off jobs, you progress through levels and accumulate virtual rewards. Tackle loathsome tasks on a low battery. Some people like to get their most unpleasant jobs done out of the way as soon as possible, using Mark Twain's line of thinking, if it is your job to eat a frog, it is best to do it first thing in the morning. I prefer to save my frog until I can see that my battery is down to its last 10% or 20%, at which point my back is up against the virtual wall. Using my laptop's lifespan is as a hard stop, gives me a sense of urgency out there, and lets me know that the pain of doing an unpleasant job, such as catching up on invoicing or working through my email backlog, will only last for so long. Conquer with calendars. While some productivity pros counsel against filling your calendar up with tasks, I'm one of those who finds it helpful to block certain kinds of work directly into my calendar so that I know exactly when I'm going to be tackling an assignment with a hard deadline and have a game plan for how to make effective use of the windows when my energy does start to flag. I might mark down these things, such as an email catch-up from 11 a.m. to noon every day, or financial tasks every Friday afternoon. And when you need to focus, if your biggest pacing obstacle is interruption or distraction, technology can help you to sustain your attention and focus on a single challenging task. For instance, some periods where you will do more focused work, such as reserving your first 2 hours of the day for writing data analysis, you can use your focus settings on a Mac or create rules under Focus Assist on Windows to trigger your Do Not Disturb mode or other cues that will help you to zero in, like changing the lighting on your screen or putting on your favorite working music. Set email to fetch on a schedule. Even if you turn off your email notifications, it can become habitual to check your email throughout the day so that you're constantly interrupting your own focus. Instead of leaving your email in a push mode where incoming messages arrive in your inbox throughout the day, consider setting your email app to fetch, an option you can generally find under your email app or account settings. With Fetch, you can see new email messages only when you deliberately refresh your inbox or on a schedule you control. Alternatively, close your email and text messaging programs out for several hours at a stretch so that you can keep your attention on the challenging work that requires your intense focus right now and get it done. This is all the time that we have for our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for listening. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.